Blog Talk Radio.
Hold on, everybody.
Welcome to Faithless Radio, where we listen to your voice and talk about the corruption we all face every day in our courts. America's courts have been co-opted by organized crime organizations operating under the color of law to defraud their victims of life, property, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We the people must confront the perpetrators of these crimes to have any hope of creating transparency and accountability in our courts and repairing our broken legal system. We stand with you to create this accountability. It's time to face us. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Face Us Radio, Blog Talk Radio, Hidden Truth Revealed, and this is the Inside Scoop. Today is February 14th, 2024. Happy Valentine's Day. And I'm with my Valentine and my co-host, Lou Ann Fleming.
Well, happy Valentine's, Robin. This is Lou Ann Fleming. Boy, we got a really full show tonight. We have got a great guest. We've got some great co-hosts with us. And happy Valentine's, everybody. Bless you to Robin. Hillary, welcome. Another
Day,
co-host of
happy
ours.
Valentine's
happy Valentine's Day.
Everyone. And, you know, it's easy to say that, but we have to think of all the couples and wives and husbands who are separated once the guardianship courts and the hospitals get involved and their hearts are broken. You know, everything, you know, is nice and butterflies and rainbows, but people don't realize how many couples, loving couples, who have been together 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and the probate court gets hold of them and separates them, no visitation. They accuse the wife or the husband of poisoning their loved ones, and it is beyond insanity. So here we are on Valentine's Day, and we do have a big heart, and we will fight for whoever needs our help because we have been taken by these courts, so we can feel your pain. So again, thanks for having me on, Robin and Luann. I appreciate it.
Right, and we think Marcy Friedman has the night off. She has some Valentine plans, and I told her absolutely, you're more than welcome to have a night off. It is hard doing these shows every week, but the words we're trying to get out tonight, and especially this last, I would say the last month, we've been doing a show on husbands and wives and why they're being separated through the guardianship system, and it just freaks me out because, you know, this is husbands and wives being married 40, 30 years. I was married for 28 years, and my husband was put into a guardianship. I became his guardian, and his father became the conservator, but this was, what, like 19, 18, 17 years ago, and it wasn't as corrupt back then. And, of course, his father was the ex-chief of police in Aurora, Colorado, so maybe that had a lot to do with it. Anyway, You're right, Hillary. We've got a lot to talk about. This is a huge topic out there. And I also wanted to talk a little bit before we start the show. Robin and I are writing a book. We love to have your stories in there. No personal information, just about the system, what you went through, your state, your city, your husband or wife has been put into a guardianship, your family members, whoever. Just go ahead and write us out a couple paragraphs and send it to us, and we'll edit them, talk to you about it, about putting it into our book. But we should be coming out with the book within 3 months. We've been working on it every day, and it's really keeping us busy, isn't it? Just really, really busy.
So, and it's very intense because it explores the what we have learned on 7 years of doing this radio show and these stories. And this is important. It's a very important these stories are very important to be told, and so we're grateful that really I feel God has given us the opportunity to serve in this way, to bring forth these stories and to help people, because someone's got to do something, and that's why we do this every week, because It's just that I can't stand it, and Luann can't stand it either. Hillary's here because she can't stand it either. None of us can stand the way that people are treated in our courts and by our legal system. It's absolutely intolerable, and it is absolutely unspeakable, and it's just there's no way to say anything except it's completely wrong. It's so wrong.
Right. And so last week we talked to Kim Manson and she said that she, you know, 47 years of marriage, they took her husband as well. She's been fighting the system. And so anybody can go back into the Blog Talk Radio shows. We have them all archived. You go to Blog Talk Radio, Hidden Truth Revealed. Share all the ones you want. There's like 360 shows or something like that we've been doing for 7 years. We did have about 25 more shows on there. Those are archived, just if anybody's wondering. Anyway, let's tell you a little bit about our show for tonight. And this is a good one, everybody. We welcome tonight Beverly Shaw. She says, help me save my husband of 44 years who was forced into a guardianship. Beverly is married and has the power of attorney, POA, for her husband, David. Beverly and David live in Missouri. They decided to go on vacation, so they traveled through Shelbyville, Indiana, his hometown. David becomes dehydrated and ended up in the hospital. Then he soon developed a fever. The hospital said she wasn't taking good enough care of him, and so they petitioned for guardianship. So visits were either forbidden, they were limited, restricted. Sometimes she can see him. We're gonna find out more tonight exactly what's going on. And at one time, she said for over a week, she didn't know if he was dead or alive. I think this is awful. It's one of the things that perturbs me the most about this guardianship system we have. It's sometimes so unethical. It's a criminal. It's just horrifying what they're doing to our loved ones. Anyway, Beverly, she's been living in motels with her pet goats, everybody, close to her husband. I think she got to see him today. She also has a GoFundMe, and the media is showing interest in this story. So why are husbands and wives being separated through the current guardianship system? Let's find out. Let's go ahead and welcome our guest tonight, Hillary. We're going to welcome Beverly Shaw tonight. Beverly? Hold on a second.
Good evening, Beverly. Hi.
Good evening.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So we've talked a little bit just right now about the guardianship system and husbands or wives, and I've been getting stories one after another. We've got them happening all over the nation. We had Becky Harbor come on a couple weeks ago. She was talking to us. Her husband was taken away. I've never heard so many stories of husbands and wives, and I do believe they have to kind of like divide and conquer, take the husband away, take the wife away. Whatever the system is, it's broken. It needs to be abolished. Something needs to be done. So, Beverly.
Yeah.
If you can, go ahead and talk a little bit how this happened and just put everybody up to date what's going on with your husband.
Okay. Well, my husband had a stroke November, the day after Thanksgiving in November of 22. He was in a hospital, then a long-term. He had a blood clot stroke, not a blood pressure stroke. Anyway, try to make a long story short, he went to a hospital, then a long-term hospital, then a nursing home, and then was finally home. He had come so close to death, and he'd been cooped up for so long, he wanted to travel. So we went to Holland, Michigan, had a wonderful time. I had worked with him since I had gotten him home. I did physical and occupational therapy with him. I would take him out every day and then quiz him afterwards. You know, what was so-and-so talking about? You remember this? To kind of get the mind juices flowing to, you know, wake him up more and more and more and get his brain, you know, more awake. And he was doing excellent. I'd even taken him out and I asked him, I said, what was the woman in the red dress talking to you about? and he'd think for a minute, and then he'd be like, you mean the green dress? I go, yeah, I deliberately said it wrong to see if he would catch it. Anyway, and he told me everything that she had told him. His mind was back. He was starting to walk more and more. He walked himself in the wheelchair. Then he'd go get up and go to the bathroom by himself. I'd follow him just to make sure he had the gate belt on and just to make sure he didn't slip. Everything was going wonderful. We went to Holland, Michigan. He wheeled himself through the streets with the two goats. They're his emotional, they are his emotional support goats. They've been also my emotional support through this horrific nightmare. And he'd get up and he'd reach for stuff from the top shelf, and then he'd sit back down in his wheelchair. And like I said, everything was going great. Then he, on the way home, he wanted to stop off at his hometown of Shelbyville, Indiana. And he got dehydrated. It was 110 degrees. It was now August. I had to take him in for IV fluids. Everyone kept saying, don't go to that hospital. They're horrible. They're incompetent. Everything under the sun. But I thought, IV fluids, what can go wrong? Bottom line is, they didn't clean the area. They gave him an infection. They sedated him when I told them not to sedate him, because after his stroke, he can't handle sedation. The doctor even thought it was funny when 8 hours later, he couldn't arouse him with smelling salt and pain stimuli. He looks at the nurse and goes, oops, he's really not waking up. What do I do now? And out of my stupid mouth came, you guys are the most incompetent idiots. I'm going to sue the pants off you. I'm taking him to another hospital before you kill him. I put him in a wheelchair, got ready to take him out. They manhandled me, threw me up against the wall, told me I'm not going anywhere with him. They called their friend the judge up, had him sign guardianship claiming that I'm refusing medical treatment for my husband. And then they put a guardian over him and forced him into a nursing home. And then when I tried to appeal it, they didn't even listen to a word I said. They just say, well, the judge says you're not taking good care of him, so he's staying in the nursing home permanently. I had three letters of references from people that have known us 30 to 40 years, stating the excellent care that I give my husband always, the excellent relationship we have, and the above and beyond care I've given him since he had a stroke. Nothing mattered. He just says, the hospital says you're not taking good enough care of him, so he's staying in the nursing home permanently under that guardianship. And we don't live in Indiana. We live in Missouri, 7 hours away. I've spent thousands of dollars in motels, on motels, and it's just been a living nightmare. I tried getting attorney money in Indianapolis. I stood out on the street from 6 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock at night, every night. They weren't allowing me to see my husband during that time, so I used that time to campaign for him. And nothing really happened. The media wasn't getting involved, nothing. So I thought to myself, after I went to court, and to the kangaroo court, I knew I had to get a lawyer in this for the next round. So I took my two goats that were with me because nobody's home and went to New York City, slept in front of Rockefeller Center for 2 weeks, 4 weeks altogether, but 2 weeks straight. And handing out flyers, talking with people, right in front of NBC. A lady from NBC knew a Times reporter. She got me in on the New York Times. Then I got in on Channel 12 Westchester, then WCBS Talk Radio. And I actually had raised $22,000 on my GoFundMe. But at first I was sleeping in the car all the way to the end of October. But then I had to start taking motel rooms, $269 a night to $150 a night. I had to do brakes on my car. I had to get tires on my car. They took every penny. They're taking every penny, leaving me with $50 a month. Food, diapers for the goats, compressed hay at $30 a bale, and they go through three bales in a week. A grain, my food, my gas. My GoFundMe was, and the lawyer, I paid a lawyer, and he kept pushing the date back. And our court was supposed to be January 12th. December 29th, the lawyer bailed on me because the media was in this. He goes, we don't see eye to eye on strategy. I have to stand in front of this judge all the time. In other words, he didn't want to ruffle the judge's feathers by having the media involved. So he bailed. So anyway, now I was completely out of funds. And we have our court date coming up Friday. I'm hoping my son is going to try to take guardianship. They're supposedly okay with that at this point, the guardian at least, as long as he forces him into a nursing home in Missouri, and I have nothing to do with it. But at least that would get him to Missouri and out of their clutches. So anyway, yeah. That's my story in a nutshell.
So, okay, so let's rewind this a little bit. So you're traveling and you decide to go somewhere, and all of a sudden you end up into a guardianship system, not even in your own state.
Yeah, correct.
How serious is this, America? I mean, you go somewhere with your husband, you go out of town, he gets sick, you go to a different state, and before you know it, he's put into a guardianship, not even in his home state. What do you feel about that?
Yeah, they said it's called something about interstate commerce or something, whatever it's called, which is illegal.
Yeah,
and the judge is a board member of the guardianship program, trying his own cases.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy.
So how come no one's try to change venue back to get him out of that state back to your state?
Well,
that's what I would be doing
things.
With your son is that I'd be filing guardianship to get him change venue and get him back to your state. And
yeah,
have
two
him
things. Supposedly, the guardian was supposedly willing to do that, but she made sure when she gave the references to the other nursing homes in Missouri that not one nursing home would accept him, and she's still working on that. She's saying now, supposedly she's willing to give my son the guardianship, but he's having a heck of a time finding a nursing home that will accept him. There is one like 3 hours away that said they would take him, which that would at least get him back to Missouri, but still, this is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Good. So what is... So what's going on with visitation? And I know that it's been kind of off and on. How long has he been in guardianship now, did you say?
5 months, since about August 5th, I think it was August 5th or August 8th. And at first they let me see him. Then he had, I told them he was going to have a mental meltdown from these drugs, because that's what happened before at the one nursing home when they had him on these drugs. He had a meltdown, and they took him off of those drugs, and he did better without these. They were blood pressure meds. He did better without these meds. They monitored him every day. He did perfect without them, and his mentality improved 100%. And now they put him back on all this garbage. And I told him, I said, I can see the signs. He's getting argumentative. He's having trouble getting words out. He's having hallucinations. They totally ignored my warnings. I found him in the rehab room, unable to speak, hitting things because he can't get words out. He's having hallucinations. He's talking about a bear. And he grabbed a hold of me and hung on to me like glue. They pried his fingers off of me, threw me out, because I said, I told you this was going to happen. This is exactly what happened before. So instead of anything, they throw me out. They took him to a hospital. Instead of taking him off of those drugs, they add Haldol and Activin to his drugs, which are hospice drugs that a dementia, elderly dementia, when he's diagnosed with dementia, it's mostly drug-induced, but still, he is diagnosed. He's an elderly person diagnosed with dementia, and the doctors at the nursing home are giving him Haldol, Buspar, and Activin that are hospice drugs not to be given to elderly dementia patients due to high risk of death and permanent brain damage. And then they wouldn't even tell me for 3 weeks if he was dead or alive. They wouldn't let me see him. They wouldn't let me tell, wouldn't tell me if he's conscious. They wouldn't even tell our son if he was conscious or how he was when he tried to call. The first time I saw him was in court trying to appeal this, and they bring him in flying higher than a kite. I go up to him and I said, oh, honey, I've missed you. I love you. He didn't even know who I was. He goes, yeah, you love me. They love me. Everybody loves me. And the judge said nothing about him being doped in his court when he's supposed to defend himself. Mm-hmm. And then they, then after a while, I can't remember how long, they finally let me see him 2 hours a day, Monday through Friday. And that's when I said, those 2 hours are not worth it. I've got to get something done permanently. I got to put a stop to this. And that's when I went to New York. And then when I came back with the money for the attorney finally, he did tell them that it was illegal to keep me from him, and I was able to see him from 9 in the morning to 6 in the evening. But at the same time, they started harassing me every time I went there. They called animal control on me because my goats were in the car. Animal control did not have a problem because I walked the goats every morning. I put them on a tie out while I eat breakfast at the park. They run, jump, eat grass. I do that for at least an hour. Then I put them in the car and feed them hay. Then I go see my husband while they're eating the hay and sleeping. Then at noon after lunch, I go back out. I grab lunch for myself. I take the goats back to the park on a tie out for another, usually at least 2 hours because my husband takes a nap after lunch. 2 to 3 hours, you know, and then they're registered emotional support goats. So when I go shopping or wherever I go, I have them on a leash and they walk with me. So they get plenty of exercise. Then in the evening, I go back for about an hour. And again, you know, put hay in, they eat hay while I'm in there. And during that time, I also check on them every 10, 15 minutes. I come out just to make sure everything's okay. Then they told me I could no longer use the bathroom that was right there. I had to use the bathroom 500 feet away in the next wing. That one was a staff bathroom. And that's not true because the staff bathrooms are marked staff bathrooms, and this one is not. And then I come out one time after seeing my husband, and the window on my car is broken right over where the goats sit. Like a threat, like this, you look at what we can do.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, gosh, this is just so complicated. So tell me something. What is it that you want to tell everybody? I mean, It's something that everybody has to be aware of. But what do you want? What is the message you want to get out there to tell everybody?
Well, one thing too is they grilled me prior to all this, because once I said I was going to sue, they knew what they had to do to prevent me from suing, take all my rights away. So if I'm not guardian of him, I can't sue on his behalf. Only his guardian can sue. I have since learned I can sue on my behalf because my rights were violated. But I'm not interested in suing. I just want my husband back. But the biggest thing I want everyone to know out there is this happens, and they also grill you. Oh, you're not from here? Do you have friends and family here? Not really. Do you have a large support group back home? No, you know, it's pretty well just me and my husband, you know. I mean, most of our family is gone, you know, at our age. That is what they're looking for. Don't ever let them know. If they ask you, are you from a large family or you have a large support group, say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever show yourself vulnerable to them.
Exactly.
And check out a hospital.
Go ahead.
If you're in an area, even just visiting, check out the reputation of the hospital. If someone says they're horrible, don't take a person there. Don't go there for nothing. I thought IV fluid. What can go wrong on that?
Exactly. Go, Hilly. Did you have something to say?
Now I can't remember a question for Beverly. Oh, I remember what it is. One of many. Have you started to get any of the billing yet for the hospital? Any billing from has the Guardian billed you yet for their services what they say their services?
They're just taking my money. That's all I know. I'm left with $50 a month.
Who is the Guardian?
Huh?
Who is the Guardian? Is it like a company, like Catholic Charities,
Federation? It's called Vazia.
What is it?
And if you look up Vazia, the judge is a board member of it.
How do you spell it? V-O-Z-I-A?
V-A-S-I-A, I think.
Man, and I'll just very quickly, there's a lady in her 80s, and this is a year ago, she drove from Sarasota, Florida to Palm Beach to have Thanksgiving dinner with her friends. She was driving back on Alligator Alley, and she said she was going to stop in Naples, where I live, just to rest because it wouldn't be safe for her to drive all the way home.
Yeah.
She fell in her hotel room, right? I think she sprained her ankle. They took her to the hospital, and she is now in a locked facility under guardianship.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. A woman said she was, her mother was traveling, visiting the kids, just basically the same scenario. And she disappeared off the face of the map. The woman had to hire a private investigator who found her in a nursing home, doped up to where she didn't know who she was and couldn't talk. The nursing home goes, oh, the hospital found her wandering the streets. And once they got her home and got her off the drugs, the woman said what all she remembers is spraining her ankle, going to the ER, and from there they doped her up and put her in this nursing home.
And, you know, they're supposed to do a diligent search of next of kin, but they don't. They don't look for family members. And the thing is, people need...
They don't
right,
want
Beverly,
family members.
Right. People
oh my
need
God.
To realize. People need to realize that if you go on vacation, you look at Florida, you're having a good time, and it doesn't matter if your mosque is in Indiana, your temple, your church, your license is from your home state, you own property, that state where you are on vacation, they can hold you hostage, put you in a guardianship, and you will never leave the state that you were on vacation in.
What are we supposed to do if we travel? Don't travel anymore? What do you think?
Honestly, I mean, that's an option, not to travel, because once something happens, and these hospitals, they've got big attorney firms, and it's a big money maker.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. And make sure that if you do have to go somewhere, make it where every half hour you text someone where you are. You know, keep tight records to the closest person you know, texting them, I just arrived in this town, and then when you leave, I'm on my way to this town, I'm going to take this road or, you know, go through these towns. You know, don't leave.
Yeah.
You know, just do it continually.
But it's, yeah, mm-hmm. just the point that we're talking about this, it's insanity. This is, you know, America, the land of the free, the home of the brave. Not.
Yeah,
right.
You're supposed to, everyone's supposed to have a lawyer. Yet, civil cases, you can't get a free lawyer. You have to come up with $50,000 just for the retainer. And most people don't have that. We didn't have that. And so
right,
most people don't know what to do.
Yeah. Beverly, so thank God from what you've said this evening concerning your son. He's stepping up to the plate, and he will be your husband's guardian. I mean, you owe him a lot of gratitude. A lot of children don't get involved, but it seems that
yeah.
he's helping out quite a bit. Is he?
Yeah, he's seriously trying to find a nursing home now. He's very busy. He's a fireman paramedic, and he's
mm-hmm.
got four kids, and he teaches paramedic, and he's got a very busy schedule that he's taking time out to...
But it's his father.
Yeah, it's his father, you know, to find a good nursing home for him, find the best that he can at least, and he's going to come down here. We're hoping and praying that, you know, they'll release him on Friday because it'd be for their best interest, because the longer I'm there, the more I'm going to fight. And as long as I'm there, if they don't let him out this time, seriously, I am going to start suing on my behalf because I have to make up the money. I have to get the money for a motel, and I'm just sick and tired of it. Right now, I'm willing to just go home with him and forget, you know, not sue, just, you know, regain our life. But if I'm going to be stuck here any longer, I will sue. And then the other thing, too, is my husband spit out his meds one day while I was there. And I went and picked them up. And I took a picture of them, and I gave them to someone who said they can probably have it analyzed to find out exactly what they're giving him.
Right.
And, like, over the holidays, there was a nurse. She didn't know that I wasn't supposed to know what he's getting. And I knew, you know, this was my chance. So I asked her, I said, what is he getting? And she goes, are you his POA? Yes, I am. I have POA. I'm not his guardian, but I am his POA. So I said, yes. And she told me Ativan, Buspar, and Haldol.
Oh, my God, Haldol. Horrifying.
It's criminal to give an elderly dementia person these.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the longer they keep him and the more, you know, the more media is going to be involved, you know, the more is going to be uncovered about them. They're just better off letting him go and make sure he leaves in good shape, because if he's not in good shape when he leaves, I will come after them.
Right. I've got people that are our listeners, actually, that are wanting to come on the airwaves with us. I'm going to give you the phone number, so we're just going to take a break for just a second. The number you call into our show, and that's the same every week, is 845-241-9962. You press A1, 845-241-9962. Once in a while, I'll put it up on Facebook, and I put it up the wrong today. It's like, oh, my God, I'm multitasking too much. Anyway, let's bring on some callers here. I've got like three or four or five people want to talk already. Let's go ahead and bring in a 616 number. I think I know who this is, 616. You're live on Facebook Radio, Hidden Truth Revealed, Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, it's Brandy from Michigan.
Hi, Brandy. I think it might have been you. Go ahead. Welcome to the show.
I've been digging while I've been listening and just looking up Missouri law and some of the laws, and I'm just going to kind of read everything I found. I have messaged you, Beverly, with all of this information. The House Bill 130 in Missouri, which is the Uniform Adult Guardianship and Protective Proceedings Jurisdiction Act, in addition to the information currently required to be included in a petition for guardianship of an incapacitated person, the petition will also be required to state the three most recent addresses at which the person lived. There's a lot of process, so I sent that information to you, and it also gives information on when issues arise when several states are involved with an adult who lacks the ability to care for their own needs properly. But then you have protections as a wife to recover an action for damages of loss caused by a defendant's negligent injury of your husband. So them keeping him from you is horrendous. Then also yeah. Medicaid also, you discussed a lot of things. So as you were discussing things, I was looking it up. You discussed that you are living out of your car and limited income. Medicaid has what is called the Prevention of Spousal Impoverishment. So there's many bills in Section 2404 of the Affordable Care Act protects you as a spouse when someone's living in a home to protect your part of the assets so you don't go bankrupt.
Oh, great.
Also, I've been banned from seeing my mother, so the federal law that protects you there, I sent you the law that the facility must provide immediate access to a resident by immediate family and other relatives of the resident, subject to the resident's right to deny or withdraw consent at any time. So that they can't limit you on your time that you spend with him by federal law. They have to, like, correctly file procedures in court that would make you not able to, and nobody's done that.
Yeah. Wow. Great.
And then also the Missouri 506.500 actions in which out-state service is authorized, jurisdiction of Missouri courts applicable when. They have no jurisdiction over your husband, but they're this is kind of, it could be twisted and interpreted in different ways. But it says, and this number two under that law says, any person, whether or not a citizen or resident of this state who has lived in lawful marriage within this state, submits himself to the jurisdiction of the courts of this state as to all civil actions for dissolution of marriage or for legal separation and all obligations arising for maintenance of a spouse. If he wasn't able to give the courts jurisdiction, they can't just take it. And
yeah.
They didn't go and request from Missouri jurisdiction over your husband properly through the courts. There's a lot here, but a lot that if you just define it and word it correctly and interpret it right on a petition, it will shut it all down, in my opinion.
Yeah, great. Thank you very
and
much.
They're trying to strong arm you, saying your son has to take over guardianship. No, they already know that they have no jurisdiction. You guys didn't live there. You didn't receive any mail there, you know? So it's crazy to hear what they're doing behind everybody's backs, trying to strong arm people and nefariously and willfully harming people and with ill intent. It's just sick. Government funding.
Yeah, you know, and I was wondering that myself. It's like, he's not even in that state. What gives them the right to move them?
You have to question jurisdiction. Yep,
yeah.
You need to object in the proper manner. If you have court on Friday, it's too late to object properly and legally. But it's just a matter of filing papers and lawyers. You said your lawyer quit. Once the media got involved, it's because you can also go after that lawyer. That lawyer suppressing legal information, he has a fiduciary responsibility to you, and that's letting you know that his fiduciary responsibility was really to the courts when he backed out.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, you just got to start wording things and going in and strong arm them back, but let them know that you're loaded with information now.
Yeah, that's like when they were restricting me, I told her flat to her face, I said, this is, my lawyer tells me this is, because she said, you have to leave now. I said, this is completely illegal. And then she goes, well, next day she goes, well, we changed, you know, you're now allowed to see him. And and I'm not allowed to have a camera near him. They've thrown me out claiming I was taking pictures, which I wasn't.
You're allowed
even doing
to have private visits. You're his spouse. You're allowed. There's so many protections. Not only just you're more than just like a child. You are spouse. You're allowed conjugal visits if you needed it. You know, like you're allowed that time.
Oh,
they can't.
Wow.
They cannot stop you.
I'm not even allowed in his room. We have to have our meetings in the lunchroom.
Yeah, there's lots of law.
Wow.
Yeah, and you need to, I think she sent you some, did you send her some of this stuff, this information?
Yeah, I got lots, and it just sucks that she has court on Friday, because I'd love to help her, but you can, you know, always go back and ask for another hearing. You can always, you know, if they decide, I think it sounds like they know that they have no jurisdiction, and because you're fighting back and got attention, they're going to just, they're going to release him, but they want you to agree to it to make it look like you've done something wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that way it justifies what they did.
Yeah. At this point, you know what? It's so urgent to get them out before they kill them.
Yeah.
You know, to get them out immediately.
The problem always is blame the spouse. Even though you had 44 years, they always say, how you've exploited your own husband, you don't take care of him. 44 years. Are you kidding me?
If that facility posts on social media, then they can't ban you from having any cameras or anything like that. That's the biggest catch-22 in the world. So you can't be posting pictures of...
He gave me power of attorney. Just after he already had a stroke, you know, I mean, it was recent. It wasn't like he gave me power of attorney 20 years ago. He gave me power of attorney after he had a stroke because he made me promise him never to let them put him on these drugs again that affected his mind. And then they take my rights away and put him on these drugs, and I can't help him.
I would just say what Trump's a lawful marriage. Yeah, even if you didn't have a power of attorney, you have protections as a wife and husband.
Yeah.
Protections as wife and husband.
Oh, and I got, and my lawyer did get an affidavit from the lawyer that drafted the POA stating to the legitimacy of the POA, because he came out, he asked him the usual competence questions. And he says, you know, he sat in the car and he stood there and they chatted for quite a while. Everything was perfect.
Yep, I would go in and just audio record. Don't even let them see your phone or camera and just start. That's what I did. And then I audioed all the meetings, you know, phone calls. I recorded everything, and I just advise you to, because now they're gonna try to get you to agree to something to justify everything that they've done so that it can't backfire on them. And don't agree to anything. If your son wants to petition, he needs to make sure that he's standing and he states that his dad has been kidnapped and being held hostage. He needs to state those things on the record and make sure that he states it, and then they can object, but... then they have no jurisdiction. There's certain things that he can say in court, and the other lawyers aren't going to object because he's stating certain things on the record. They won't argue. They'll try and shut it down so nobody talks more about it.
Yeah.
Well,
my
big fear is I can't have them redo it. Like, he can't be there any longer. He's not going to make it much longer. On these drugs, they're going to kill him. I got to get him out Friday, no matter what.
And I think it's a HIPAA violation as well to not be disclosing information to the spouse. So you can make complaints to Medicaid, HIPAA, go like above all of them and start going to, I don't know if you're reporting, but report to the state licensing agencies, which is LARA. And you just keep reporting.
Yeah, I've gotten thrown out a few times for taking pictures of him, but when I see his eyes are completely constricted, they're like the size of a pin, he's so doped up. You know, I've taken pictures of his eyes, that glazed, empty look. You know, I got thrown out for it, but I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to get a record of this.
Yeah, there you go. Wow. Well, thank you. Thank you for calling in, and I think you gave her some information already. And if you two want to talk or something like that, I could also give you phone numbers out after the show, if that's okay with you. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, mine's free to give.
Okay. I'll have you both put in contact. And I know you sent some stuff to her on Messenger as well. So that's good.
You said it's on Messenger?
Is it?
Yes. I friend requested you and sent you a lot.
Okay. And your name is?
Brandy.
Brandy Ritzema.
Brandy Ritzema.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'll look for that. Thank you very much. I really appreciate your help. It has
been
so horrifying. I started completely alone on this.
Yeah, and I'm not far from Holland, Michigan, actually, where you guys first visited. So I live in Michigan.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we love it. The people were so kind. We actually had our honeymoon there 44 years ago.
Wow. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Brandy, we're going to move on to the next caller. And if you want to stay on, you may. I can keep your line open. We're going to go ahead to a 270 number. 270, you have a question or a comment? Welcome to Faces Radio, Hidden Truth Revealed.
Hi.
Yes,
I do have a question. Did you say that the nursing homes in your state or in your area are saying that they won't take your husband because of something that was said by the other people?
Yeah, they're supposedly this... A horrible nursing home here in Indiana has to do a referral to the nursing home in Missouri, and then the Missouri nursing home turns around and rejects him.
Okay. Now, isn't there some sort of discrimination? Like, can they not give you a if they can't give you a reason, then it would be considered a discrimination issue?
Yeah, I don't
right.
know. Like I say, I'm not very...
I would contact Medicaid.
One of them said they couldn't do it because they didn't know how to handle guardianship. And I don't know what the other said.
I think once guardianship transfers to either your son or you, it'll change, and then he'll be accepted. It's because Missouri has no jurisdiction to accept him when he's out of state, and it's such a mess. Even though he's a Missouri resident, they already know they don't want that mess, so he'll have to get granted guardianship under somebody in Missouri.
Yeah.
Right.
So
that brings back something to me that when my mom was put under guardianship here in Colorado, she was taken to Florida, and they couldn't do too much for her out there. And I'm so glad to say that they never did put the guardianship out there, because I probably would have never seen my mom again. It freaked me out to know that all the stuff that happened, I had no idea about any of it. And now I know. And
we all
freaked
start
me
off
out
that way. Yeah.
That happened. Yeah. It's so good to people understand what's going on. So I'm glad you guys are calling in and talking about this, because it's important. It's like me, I'm kind of freaked out to travel through Indiana now. I'm like, oh, geez.
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
You have no idea.
I had no idea.
You just get blindsided in the middle
of... For many of us...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
For many of us, I feel like our guardianship nightmare began with money. There was some sort of money involved.
There's two reasons, the money And in my case, it was also to prevent me from suing.
Okay, so that money is,
like,
yeah, absolutely. Sure.
It's the money hogs,
I'm
you know.
I'm so sorry this is happening to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing this on a regular basis for the money. In fact, I met two people in Shelbyville, Indiana, that said, one said they're working on getting their loved one back. Another one said they just got their loved one back, but they were both under gag orders.
Oh, see, there goes the gag orders, yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah, they like to do that too.
So crazy. We talk about gag orders in our book. We talk about all this stuff going on, and it's so real, everybody. It's so real,
mm-hmm.
and it's hard to put it into words sometimes. I mean,
I like the phrase the lady used, strong arm, because
yeah,
they strong do arm. Strong arm, but that's all they're doing. There's nothing legal about it. And the thing is like they use our naive, they know the whole game in and out, but they use people, their fear and their lack of knowledge to make people think that they've got it in the bag and you don't have a prayer. But it's all, I think I like the word strong arm because that's all it is.
Well, they say in Indiana that a crooked judge has absolute power.
Yeah, none of this would be allowed if the judges would just stop, but it's too profitable. You know, we talked, you know, a lot about judges, but if the judges didn't allow it, we wouldn't be going through this. So there is a huge problem going on with judges, you know, and then you have
there's two judges and a guardian just got indicted for this in Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah, and it's judges know the lawyers and the lawyers know the judges. So yeah, we are really stumbling here to figure out.
And that's why
saying
fiduciary duty is important, because if you say that your lawyers and these judges, they all have a fiduciary duty. And each one has a responsibility to a different person. Your lawyer has a fiduciary responsibility to you. The judge has a fiduciary responsibility to uphold the law in the court. So he's not there to have power and to make decisions. He's there to weigh what is being presented to him. And that's not what's happening in the courts anymore.
No.
Right.
Nope.
It's supposed to be fair and impartial, and it's not. It's just I've heard everything but the opposite. So, yeah, you're right about that. Exactly. They all have fiduciary duties, and it's just not happening anymore. It's a shame.
I'm glad to hear the people in New York went down, and I cannot wait to hear more and more of people that go down that do this to other people and families.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me so happy. I hope they have a good time in jail. A good time in jail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine said, you have to pray for these people. I said, the only prayer I can think of is God strike them with lightning.
They don't have a prayer. They have turned away from all that is good. They have turned away from all that is light and good and promised in our world. And when they breathe their last breath, they've got hell to pay, and they can't afford the price. And that's what's coming for all of them.
Yep. Amen. They weaponize. The laws and protections, and they're inducing harm onto everybody by weaponizing the very laws and protections that are set to protect us.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. All of us started off thinking that when we walked into this, it was it wasn't even a glimmer of a thought that the laws that protect our land wouldn't go to bat for us, but you can't even get them. You can't even, what laws?
Yeah,
it's not
pictures.
Even whatever they crayon in for the day on the chalkboard.
Yeah, I took pictures. I showed the judge pictures of him sitting, laying there with a bleeding tush when they changed his diaper.
Oh my God.
I mean, really bleeding, soaked in urine at the breakfast table from his chest to his knees while his bed was soaked through four bed protectors.
Oh my God.
And that's why they won't let me in his room, because they have four bed protectors on his bed, meaning they're not changing him. They're just trying to protect their mattress.
I think when we get people prosecuted, we should add in a week stay at a nice little nursing home for them. Let them stay and let them be kept the same way that they kept our families.
Yeah,
that would do
here.
For me.
Yeah.
God. It's so sad doing these
same
stories.
Same drugs, same everything.
Yeah.
Every week.
Oh, God. Hey, we're going to take in another caller right now. I'm going to keep you guys' lines open since it's a good, really good conversation. Jump in when you'd like, 770. You have a question or a comment? Welcome to Faces Radio.
Hello. Hey. Hi, everyone. It's Becky.
Hi,
so, Becky. Hello to everybody. I just wanted to say that, you know, we are truly, as a group, making strides. I mean, I've mentioned this before, of, you know, the Washington Post that picked up the Delta pilot, the Maya Kolesky case that was all over people. I mean, you know, I think we all need to really find a little bit of comfort that we are getting the exposure that we've wanted for so long. You know, what it's due to, I don't know, but I do believe that it's there. I've said this also, it's kind of redundant, and I just can't reiterate it enough that if I knew what I know now, I could have saved my husband. I had supposedly one of the best attorneys that Florida had, and I cannot tell you. Let's talk about the one of the lady that was talking about discrimination for non-acceptance. Everything that Beverly Shaw is going through, I've been through. I mean, it is just like hearing me talk, even the out of jurisdiction. Remember, these people do what they're allowed to do. They're, unless you stop them, unless you can recite that law just like Brandy did, unless you sit in that library 24/7 and make this your life, you are not going to know what has happened to you. But the lady that talked on the discrimination, I had an attorney. He knew, he was very well aware that I was trying to get my husband across from Florida to Georgia. They were using the discrimination tactic by saying Ms. Harbor is trying to pull a trait collar from her husband. I would find out after my husband died, that was all made up. There was no affidavit. That was a fake phone call. There was nobody even that could be tracked back to that. Do you know how fast I found that out when I got my mind together after my husband died? It took me about one day. I supposedly had one of the best attorneys in Florida. All he had to do was pick up the phone and say, if Ms. Harbor tried to assault her husband, where is the affidavit? Where is the person that said this? And this could have all been squashed. Another thing that should have been done on the discrimination part, the lady is exactly right. They were using a false, I knew it at the time, but I mean, I certainly know it now with very good proof, they had made this story up to keep my husband and I from going to Georgia, because just like the lady that talked and said, Beverly that says, well, nobody wants to go in there because it's a guardianship. That was exactly what I was told by each facility. Ms. Harbor, you're causing so much disturbance in the hospital. We're going to be honest with you. We cannot take on this kind of responsibility. So, no, we are not taking your husband. And then on the third level, we need to do something about the hospital nurses and their lies. My case, everybody knows about Sunita Coe, lost her license in 3 states, criminal record, past felon, with deadly assault with a deadly weapon. What was she doing as a nurse in the state of Georgia? Well, you know what? They allow that in the state of Georgia. Can you believe that? And it is shocking how many states that you can be a felon convicted of assault with a deadly weapon, lost your license in 3 states, and look what she did to me. Look at the harm she did to me. So at the end of the day, what I'm really trying to say is, you know your rights. Be able to recite them like the Bible. Because remember when Florida had the bill, Hillary, I know you're listening. I know you might remember the number to this bill, but it doesn't matter. It was to let them go, these hospitals, go out of jurisdiction. In other words, if you were a Montana rancher and they found out you owed a big old ranch and you went to Disney World and you got hurt like the Delta pilot did, they could snatch you and get all your Montana property. That was the purpose of that bill by Danny Burgess. And that bill, we squashed that by exposing, because they said, we don't want to listen to these people anymore. They're telling us our story. Just squash the bill. Get it out of the way for whatever reason. Right. We'll never know. But that's my thoughts on it. But what I'm saying is jurisdiction is everything. These people have no jurisdiction in the Shaw case any more than they did in mine. But we don't have attorneys that are going to stand up to these people, because you know why? It's going to be their license if they do. So, you know, and then I one more thing. Hospital, going back to the Maya Kowalski case on the hospital lies. There's also DeStefano versus Adventist down in Orlando, where the man won $2 million because they said he tried to crawl up in the bed with his mama and assault her, just the same as in the Brandon Haas case in Georgia. We've got to get together as a group, because this isn't just a husband and wife thing. This is a widespread lying to take our husband, our moms, our dads, our children, with lies. And that is not acceptable, not acceptable at all. There has to be some kind of repercussion. And there's too many cases. This is not coincidence. They are trained to do this. And this isn't just in Florida. This is statewide.
Yeah, oh, it's cut the whole country. It's everywhere.
Yes. It's a whole country.
It's patterns and practices.
I'm going to say the nurses, they are like the fly on the wall, the support staff, like nurses, CNAs. I would think that the woman that had her license taken away and was working in Georgia was cherry-picked to do what she did, because she had to be a cold-hearted person to not know that your husband was in peril and that she was causing some of that. But she could do it because she was protected and probably paid handsomely to turn her head.
No doubt, yeah, no doubt about it. And it's interesting to know that. And I'll say another thing to Beverly that is really important that I don't want to forget tonight. Had my attorneys listened to me when I said, I must see my husband before he leaves this state of Florida. He's been by himself for 3 months, thanks to you. There's no reason that you shouldn't have gotten me visitation in there to see my husband. You must have been paid off to do that. There must have been some reason, because nobody's that damn ignorant. So what I'm saying is, if I would have seen the shape of my husband before he left the state of Florida, I could have flipped the case around, because guess what? There were wounds the size of golf balls into the bone all over his body that they hid. That's why I couldn't see my husband. That's why no family member, because then once you get him out of the jurisdiction, then it's hard to fight it. So it needed to be done right then and there, and that would have turned the whole case around. It would have never allowed the extortion of $210,000 by me, because here I am as a widow left with nothing, because they got it all. So what I'm saying is, make sure you see your husband physically. Check every aspect of him. Look over those medical records. It's your right before you transfer him over there.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, too, I don't have proof of this. I haven't been able to find out information about it. But at the motel here, there's a woman there. Her pipes were frozen. She's a local person who knows everything and everybody. And she said the doctor that the nursing home is using was actually under suspicion of murdering her husband back in 88 with drugs.
Hmm. Wow.
And I'm like...
What is the correlation between the judge? I picked up just on the tail end of that, something about your judge has a conflict of interest, and how is that?
Yeah, he is a board member of the Vazia Guardianship Program, and yet he's forcing people into this Vazia, and then he's also trying the cases.
Oh, no, you need to put that on the record. You need to get that on the record. Remember what I told you about filing those motions and putting it on the record? You need to get that on the record and recuse that judge. And I gave you the information that will help you there.
Yeah.
Find out who is on that, whatever the name of that company is.
Yeah, the media found that out for me. I didn't know. The media told me, you know, are you aware he's a board member?
Wow, that's big.
And
that's really big. In fact, that's huge. You really need to get that on the record. In fact, if they don't let him out of there Friday and things don't go in your way, you need to have an emergency hearing based just on that.
And alert the media.
Alert the media.
Have the media. Yeah, to let them expose them. Say, I've got corruption and conflict of interest that goes so deep. I would want to know who the other board members are, because I bet you something, a small something, but I bet you that it's probably somebody's wife, somebody's something, like even the judge's wife or other judges or other lawyers' wives.
Yeah, the judge's wife.
They're sick of thieves. They keep it that way.
Yeah, the judge's wife is actually an elected house official for the state of Indiana. She's the city attorney. His daddy is a big judge taking children away and forcing them
into the racket. Yeah.
Good
luck to you, Beverly. We'll all be wishing you the best. I mean, I personally have stood right exactly where you're at, even with the whole jurisdiction thing. I mean, I only wish you the best. Anything we can do to help you, I mean, please don't hesitate to call any of us.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. Yeah.
Do you know if they petitioned Missouri for jurisdiction over him first?
Mm-hmm. Pardon?
Do you know if the Indiana petitioned Missouri first for jurisdiction over him?
I have
and notified
no idea.
Him and his...
Ask
you guys
to see
have
that
children?
Motion. Ask to see that paper.
Yeah, like your children should have been notified. Everybody should have been properly, like the whole judicial or civil process hasn't even been followed properly in either state for an out-of-state person to even contain jurisdiction over the matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something wrong there. Yeah, there's something really wrong.
Beverly, please take her serious on that jurisdiction, because that, I'm telling you, that's your ball. That's your ticket out right there. Jurisdiction.
Yeah.
You and your son can make arrangements, and then you can go home and you can petition to like be his guardian if that's what the courts see fit. But you're his wife. You're allowed to make the decisions that he needs without any oversight. You have, you know, like. But if you and your son can just make arrangements and have a plan and you present that to the courts and, you know, you're able to bring him home and care for him, like set up a plan so they can't just say, oh, well, no facility will take him. Outwit, outsmart, outplay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would get him out of that jurisdiction, sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
Wow. Well, thanks for everybody calling in. This is some good information, you know, and we just need to keep it at. And at the end of the show, I'll go ahead and trade everybody phone numbers to make sure that everybody can keep in touch with each other. because I'm telling you, being alone and going through this is horrible. It's just horrible. I mean, I wish I knew as much.
I think that if anything that doesn't go your way with that hearing, I like what the lady said to call an emergency hearing, and I think you should alert the media, and it doesn't matter if nobody shows up, but telegraphs are us, whoever will show up and put this in the media and put this in front of people.
Most courts are on Zoom, and most are public, and you can court watch.
Oh, yeah.
Can you find if this is on Zoom or anything so we could all listen in? Do you know if it's on Zoom?
Yeah. I don't think it is. They said it's only friends and family can come. And I'm thinking to myself, well, the media is my friend.
Definitely try that out. I mean, geez.
They just left
that
wide open for you if they said friends and family. That's fine. Everybody's your friend.
Right. Well, we could look that up on the website and see what if we know what day, what judge, we can see if they have like a Zoom link and then just sign in, not under a specific case and just as a court watcher, and maybe they'll let us in for all of them. It's worth a try.
Yeah, it's supposed to be Friday at 9:00 in the morning at the civil court in Shelby County, Shelbyville.
Wow.
Is that 9:00 in the morning? Is that Central Time?
Yeah. Eastern Time.
Eastern.
Okay. Shelbyville is Eastern Time.
Well, it's kind of scary to know that you could just be traveling and this can happen to you, and then you're just you're just up and relocated just like that. I mean, it's a scary process to know that this happens, but I've heard it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, what do they think? I'm just going to leave my husband? No.
They want to make it as inconvenient as they can. And the other thing is, you bring up a really good idea to me, is that they want to keep husbands and wives separated because the husbands and wives keep an eye on each other. And they know their husbands better than anybody.
Well, are husbands and wives considered one?
Yeah, I would think, well, supposedly, you know.
Yeah.
I think that there is special consideration with husbands and wives because, you know, in a normal court, if there are any left at all, you can plead the fifth and not testify against your spouse.
Yeah.
And that's pretty powerful. So you would think that in their kangaroo court, we could bring our own crayons and say that we're going to make up our own rules. And then,
that's about what it is, though, is that a lot of these people just, they know how the game is played, and they know that, you know, a lot of people aren't educated as they are, and they just know how to play the games. I've seen it over and over.
It's a court that runs on statutes and not according to the rule of law, and they know that they're breaking the law, that they're breaking their own statutes, they're breaking their own rules, but they also know that oftentimes they're not going to get called on it. No one's going to say, point of order, Your Honor. This is, you know, you're breaking the law here, and you can't do that. So if they know that they're going to get away with it, then that changes the game, and they can't, you know, if they know they'll get away with anything that they do, then they just play according to their own rules. And
they're getting cockier and cockier.
Yeah, and if we don't know, if we go in and we don't know the rules and we don't get busy learning the rules so that we can fight them, you know, even the playing field and fight them in a meaningful way, then they just run right over us. And there is no courtrooms at all.
Yeah.
Although they are breaking laws right and left.
I wonder, like, you know, because like what you're saying, it's just statutes. It's just these little things, like little suggestions, if you will. But what makes it where we couldn't come to court and literally walk in and walk out with our person. If it's, you know, if the person's in a wheelchair, if they're there, usually they, I guess they don't, we're not in court anymore. They do Zoom. How convenient. But can't you demand to have in court and literally walk out with the person, have a few people with you, some camp, if you put your hands on me, I'm going to sue the bejesus out of you. Do not touch me. I'm walking out of here with my person. And if the if they start hollering at the police, just say, have them produce a court order that says anything otherwise, and you can tase me for fun. But if they can't, you know, I guess, I don't know, I guess they do the restraining orders and all the things they do.
Yeah. But it does remember that the judges, they have absolute power to do whatever. I mean, they do. And a lot of people just can't, they just can't go in there and take, because look what happened to the Roger Hilligus case. You know, he wasn't in the courtroom with his mother, but they went into a nursing home and took the mother out. And they've been in jail ever since. I mean, Roger Hilligus Stuart Hanke are constantly trying to get away from all that. And it's been going on for years. So, yeah, you have to be really careful about this and just have a plan to go forward and know your statutes and know what you can. I mean, it's complicated. It's not easy. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to, if you want to call into the show, I'm going to give you the phone number to do that. The number is 845-241-9962. You press A1. That's 845-241-9962. You press A1, and that will get you into the show. And remember, these are live. And I'm sure that you can pass this recording to whoever you want. You can pass all 300 recordings to whoever you want. They don't believe you what's going on. Go to Hidden Truth Revealed, Blog Talk Radio, and you can find all of our episodes on there. Let's bring in a 716 number, 716. Have a question or comment or welcome to the show.
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
Hi, this is Kim Mason calling in.
Kim, how you doing?
Welcome to
good. The show. Good. And yourself?
Good, good. Happy
good
Valentine's
God.
Day, boy.
You too, absolutely. I've been trying so hard to get on. I was like, how am I going to get on the show until you said press one?
Yeah,
so
press
anyway,
one.
Thoughts were is when Beverly said that when she was in the hospital, okay, and they put their hands on her, mind you. Now, that in itself, I mean, they put their hands on her. Now, I mean, she could have did something right then. I mean, she could have pressed charges, I suppose.
I told them, I said, you're not allowed to put your hands on me. And she said, here in Indiana, we're allowed to do whatever it takes to keep you here.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
So if it were me, I would have pressed charges, but I mean, they intimidate you. I understand. They intimidate you. They make you feel powerless, and you're kind of like in shock, so you really don't know what to do because it's bullying, basically. And hospitals are notorious for that because my situation, when my husband was in the hospital and our daughter coerced for the guardianship, I was in the hospital three different, you know, times of the day with him. You know, after I got done with work at the newspaper, I'd go right over and be with him, and I would watch the care that they were giving him. And they had him in a Jerry chair, which he didn't need a Jerry chair. They had him in an adult diaper, which he doesn't need an adult diaper.
Exactly.
It was disgusting. And then he was barefooted. He was he looked a wreck like I've never seen him before. And I went in there and I said to the nurse, I says, I need to speak to your supervisor, the doctor, somebody, but somebody better talk to me. So they knew I was serious because I think it's your tone of voice when you talk to them. You know, I mean, at first you, okay, please, I need to speak to somebody. But if you don't show some kind of authority as being a wife, you have to show your authority as being a wife, because they don't think you're going to do that, because they push you aside and they dismiss you every time.
Yeah, but then they also, if you get upset, you know, or raise your voice with them, they say you're losing it and you ought to be locked up.
No, that's not good. Yeah, I understand.
I was told,
but what I did,
I was told in court that I had to, you know, keep my tone normal and, you know, calm down and this and that.
Yeah.
If you don't show emotion, you have no emotion. You're dead.
Yes,
I mean,
I know what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying, but what I did, though, was different. I said, I showed them my POA paper, and I said, I'm his wife. And then the doctor said, okay, you're his wife? And he acted kind of funny about it, scratching his head a little bit. And I said, yes, I am. And if you don't release my husband today, I will sue the hospital. And when I'm done suing this hospital, I will sue you as the doctor.
No, I should have done that.
In a half an hour, he was out of there and going home with me.
Wow. Oh, yeah, I should have done that.
It happened to someone that's compassionate, you know, like somebody that's either compassionate or that just doesn't, that, like you said, you strong-armed him at that point, not that you were standing your ground, and that worked for him. But so many of them know that they can hide behind their corrupt house of cards and take you for all you got.
Yes.
Yep.
And it's terrible. And you know what? I got to thinking, there's something I thought about. If you have someone else with you, if you're able to have someone with you, I'm not saying a camera, but I'm saying someone to be with you, to be a witness for you, that always helps. If you go in alone, oh my gosh, they can do whatever they want. They can say whatever they want. You don't have anybody. You don't have a witness. It's just hearsay. So it's best to have somebody with you.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Oh, my gosh. That's a lot of good information on here, that's for sure. And there's a lot of husbands and wives show that know exactly how the game is played, too. Robin, what do you think?
I'm finding lots of law from Indiana that is going to help us here, too. And I'm sending it all.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm hearing an awful lot of very helpful and useful and thoughtful contributions by the people that are part of our audience that are here, you know, talking about the various ways that might be helpful to deal with this situation. It's phenomenal how much this kind of get together on our show is bringing forth all this information that is useful and helpful and applicable to this particular situation. I certainly hope that this is all things that what we're hearing are things that can be applied and that can make a difference in this particular case. But also, I hope that our listeners are making some notes and listening and being
helped by,
you know, the
There's
the
a notice that, to relocate in Indiana. There's a notice of relocation. So that's all you have to probably file.
And what is it called?
A notice of relocation.
Huh. And where do I file that at?
With the courts. I'm digging. I'm finding so much in Indiana.
Where do you look at for all this at, by the way?
I just go get on the internet and look up Indiana probate and guardianship laws.
There you go. Yeah.
Brandy, you're the best.
Okay. So someone just sent you something, Beverly, to your messenger as well. So make sure you check your messenger.
Sure.
More information coming in. I was just sent that messages to Beverly regarding Missouri jurisdiction that was filed in a recent guardianship case. So go ahead and make sure you check into all that as well. It's legal briefs. Okay, good. Thank you for that. So we do have people listening, so it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Now I know which case that is.
And thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, what if we could do here at Faces Radio? I mean, we've heard the stories. We know this is real. We know this is going on. So whatever we can do to help, I mean, just reach out to us. And make sure that if anybody has a story to tell, we want to put these in our book. Just what you think of the system and how you were trapped in it. And just send us Faces Radio, everybody, at hotmail.com. And we're going to publish some of those in our book. The book should be coming out in about 3 months. It's been a lot of work. I tell you what, it's been just a hero's journey. It really has.
Yeah.
This says Indiana did not file for jurisdiction in Missouri per CastNet Public Records. The other day she needs to file an emergency petition for guardianship to Missouri. There you go.
Now, what is it?
You need to file for emergency petition for guardianship in Missouri.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to file in the jurisdiction of which you live. So
right.
Whether that's you, you can file and you can say that Indiana has kidnapped your husband and refusing spousal rights and, you know, when they have nothing criminally being held against you, filed nothing against you, you know, called the police, you know, there's no record.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to prove to the courts why you're unfit. They're not going to be able to do that. Their word is nothing.
Yep.
They're committing a lot more fraud at that point. So you have to go and claim your jurisdiction.
Okay.
Right. Remember that is also a GoFundMe that everybody can donate to as well. And I'll post that more up on Facebook. We have a 573 number. Let's bring this number in. 573, welcome to Faces Radio. Your question or comment or hello. Welcome to the show.
573, you're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go
there
ahead.
There you are, yes.
Hey, this is Angie Dawn. I live here in Missouri. I'm Greg Leeds' wife.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes,
My mother-in-law, Shirley Butler, we're fighting for guardianship still of her here in Missouri. And I researched a little bit of Beverly's case the other day and asked some of the same questions that you guys asked tonight. Indiana did not file anything in the Missouri courts because we have a public record system, which you can check, which is case.net, and you can search public records. They did not file any paperwork for her husband to assume jurisdiction. And I basically sent her some case law from a case that I had researched recently, citing Missouri case law that could assist her in filing an emergency petition, but she really, really needs to get it filed in her hometown here in Missouri as soon as possible, which probably won't, you know, be able to be done before Friday morning at 9 a.m. And there's a $275 filing fee. She can file it pro se and then retain an attorney afterwards, but she really needs to fight the jurisdiction and get something filed in Missouri to fight them in Indiana.
Right.
So I sent her that information.
Yeah, that's good. Did you get that? I'll just check. And if not, I can send it to you as well. And so how is your mother-in-law doing, by the way?
I am personally not allowed to visit her. Greg has not been able to see his mom since November 14th. The facility that she's at in Lowry City, Missouri, is still working in cahoots with the new guardian that was put in without a court hearing. It was a deputy public administrator. The one retired, we got her out, and now her deputy assistant was put in without a court hearing. And we have a case review with a new judge scheduled for March 7th, but nothing ever gets done. It just gets pushed to another court date, and we're waiting for them to make a decision whether they're going to set the guardianship aside based off of her constitutional rights were violated because they never served her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a waiting game. But he can't see her. I can't see her. A judge signed an order in 2021 saying that only Greg, his sister, and any blood descendants could visit her.
Mm-hmm.
So that was in retaliation of me for speaking up and hotlining the guardian and the facilities for what I'd seen during my visit. So.
God, these people are just too much, man. Yeah, I'm really much aware of your case going on there. I talk to Greg every now and then.
Yeah, it's a hot mess.
It's a hot mess.
It is.
Check your messages, Beverly, and see if you could get some from these people that send you information.
I'm sorry, what?
Really? And you know what? I also want people to know there is a really good attorney, okay? We're just going to call her Leslie right now. That is helping pro se people. And if you want information on that, I'm going to get you some more information. It's going to help families just for donations because they screwed her so bad as an attorney, okay? She's willing to help families win back their family members. So I will send that information out, too. There was a Zoom last night that I was on, and she's really dedicated to helping families. And I think everybody knows who I'm talking about right now. I don't want to say her last name, but I'll get that information out to you. You can contact her. I'm just going to say Leslie for now. Right. So we're going to keep it at that because, you know, this the whole system is just so awful. So the more we help each other out, the better.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, remember, there's a GoFundMe if you want to help. Donate as much as you can. I would probably hightail it back to Missouri, get this petition filed as soon as you can, if you can, with your son. And that's
what
I would
do. He has
a court date Friday.
Well, Leslie has a website.
Right.
And that website is familylawprosay.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
familylawprosay.com.
Right. He's willing to help families out, so this is good news. You want to take her?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what I got in my little arms right here? Little Mia. There you go.
I'm writing stuff on a napkin.
Yeah, that I know. I ran out of paper here, so I'm just writing stuff all over the place. But, you know, thank you, everybody, for calling in. I'm so glad that we have a network of families on here. I'm really, really grateful that we can do whatever we can to help, you know, because I've been through the system. I've been through it with my husband. I've been through it with my daughter. I've been through it with my brother. I've been through it with my mom. I just found out that my brother, back in, like, 1980s, was put into one of the worst courts out here, and I just found the paperwork on him, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. He was put into a mental ill court out here by one of the worst judges. We've had so many complaints against. I'm like, oh, my God, I've had it with my brother. I've had it with my daughter. I've had it with my mother. I've had it with my husband. I was the guardian of him as well, but it went okay with us. No, I'm just,
well,
whew, I'm just saying I know every aspect of this.
I'm wondering,
remember, I was a victim, I was an accessor, I was a guardian, I was the petitioner. I all this for my husband. He was in six different courtrooms at one time. I remember turning into being a guardian, and they came to me and said, "Miss Fleming, you can't be a guardian. You have a protection order. He has a protection order against you." And I'm like, "Well, I had to go to that court and get it lifted." Oh my God, I remember all that stuff. But go ahead. What were you going to say?
You're not golden, obviously.
Oh, I was. was just wondering if there was, like, if there are lawyers listening and if they could, if they are law firms, whatever, and then if they could ever figure out a way to sue these people that have taken this money, where, you know, and then recoup some of this money for people like the pro se lawyer and the family, you know, couldn't we have our own Aaron Brockovich kind of thing?
Yeah.
One day where we take on Goliath and get back and give back and turn the tides. I mean, couldn't there be a firm big enough to say, hey, we're not afraid of any of y'all. We're coming for you.
Right. Right. And then we need someone to mute
and hit them in the pocket.
I'm speaking right. We've got some noise coming on. If you're not speaking, please mute your phones. I think there's a lot of good information, but you're right about that.
And of course, that's kind of our hope. is that we will find.
I'm multitasking everybody, so give me a minute.
That those who are able and capable of being of assistance and helping to put an end to this kind of abuse that we all are dealing with and facing,
right.
We'll do so. We're on the team of every single one of those good and honest attorneys that are doing the right thing by their client, and all of those good and honest judges who are ruling in favor of justice and fairness in their courtrooms. We really are making the attempt to clean up the broken legal system. And so if you're out there and you're an attorney that is worth your metal and, you know, you want to make a difference, get in touch with us. We can certainly find you clients.
that's for sure. Okay.
Well, I guess we could turn this into a high interest loan. Because they want to steal and take money from us, but we're coming back tenfold for them.
Exactly.
With everything, No more private boarding schools for your children. Sorry, you'll have to explain to them that you were a thief.
I saw a doctor buying like a $5,000 drivable Jeep for a kid. I'm like, yeah, out of blood money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Beverly, I'm hoping that the show brings you some good friends and some good information, and I think that that you should probably go back and get that filed and try to get him out of that jurisdiction. That's the first thing I would do. I remember that happened to my mom, and I had to come back to Colorado and get it done here, and I'm really glad that they never did take it to Florida when I think about it. So that's the first thing I would do. And I'll exchange phone numbers after the show. If anybody wants anybody's phone number, just me. You can find me at FACEUS Radio, FACEUS Radio at hotmail.com. You can also find me on Messenger as well. You can find Robin Austin. He's on there as well. And also Beverly, you're on Facebook as well. So is Brandy Rizma, she's also on there, and Jidan is on there. So if anybody, and Becky, you know, anybody wants Becky's information, she's a powerhouse of information, let me know, and I will send all that information to you as well. That's faceusradio@hotmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter. You can find us on Families Against Court Embezzlement Unethical Standards, Face Us. You can find, what did I say, Twitter? What else?
You did say Twitter.
Yeah. Okay. And FACEUS Radio, I'm just trying to put everything, all this information out there, and I'm trying to do like multitasking as well, plus holding a little puppy here. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got so much stuff going on. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and go tonight. Beverly, thank you for coming on. We're just so sorry this has happened to you and your husband. Just keep in touch with us. You too, Kim, as well. Keep in touch with us. We had her on last week, and that was really a good show, everybody. That was awesome. In fact, last 3 or 4 weeks have been husbands and wives. We've had so many coming on that, it's really getting to the crisis area, you know, with Anyway, justice requires transparency and accountability, and giving up is not an option. Hillary Hulk, she had to run, but she gives everybody her love. Happy Valentine's Day. I just want to put a word out there. Tomorrow would have been my brother's 72nd birthday. He passed away when he was 48. He was in guardianship. And then 4 years on the 20th, my mom will be have gone, passed on for 4 years, everybody. She was placed into a guardianship, and we got her out. Our property suffered tragic loss. You know, all my family property was completely sold, kind of just taken from us, and we had no right, no say-so of it. And that really kills me today. So that's why I talk about it as much as possible, because what they did to us is just wrong. Anyway, happy birthday, or happy birthday. Love you, Mom.
Happy Valentine's Day.
God
bless
everybody.
Us, everyone.
Thanks for coming on.
We love all of you. We really do. And we feel for all of those that are in these situations, and that's why we do this, because we care, and we stand with you, and we're fighting for you, and we'll continue to do that every week.
Right, and if anybody wants some more information on, we got some help with Pro Se that we can help you now. We got some information coming out. We're also going to be doing some updates on America United International what's her name?
Belinda Parker.
Yes, Belinda Parker Brown. She's going to be coming on probably in the next couple of weeks to talk to us about all the stuff that's going on. That's Belinda Parker Brown with AUI, Louisiana United International as well. Anything else you want to say, Robin? Anything else?
Justice requires transparency and accountability.
And
giving
up
is not
an option. Okay, good night, everybody. We'll be here again next week, so tune in. And if you have a story you want to talk to us about or come on, hit me up at Facebook. Radio, FACEUS Radio at hotmail.com. Make sure you send us any stories as well. We would love to put them in our book. Anyway, love you all. We're going to go ahead and
Happy Valentine's Day.
NAVS got commercial coming on, everybody. Appreciate them for letting us use their commercial. Good night.
Did you know that elders and elders are losing their rights to liberty and property? Anyone can petition a court to have a person easily incapacitated. What if that person is you? The adult guardianship system was created to protect incompetent people and their assets. A court-appointed guardian, sometimes a total stranger, can force you into a nursing home and sell your home to pay for services. Treasured belongings can disappear as you are drugged and isolated from loved ones. Why does this happen? Unfortunately, the courts don't have the funding to supervise and audit cases. A guardian makes all decisions on your behalf, taking control of your assets with little accountability. The potential for abuse is frightening. Luckily, not all guardians exploit those under their care, but when they do, there's really nowhere to go for help. The National Association to Stop Guardian Abuse, NASGA, is working to reform adult guardianship to return it to its once noble purpose of protecting the human rights to life, liberty, and property and ending financial exploitation of assets. Are you or your loved ones protected? To learn more, visit StopGuardianAbuse.org.